Our reading from 2 Kings chapter 5 is about Naaman, who is the general, the commander of the army of the king of Aram. What we know about Aram is that they went into Israel to conquer, to engage in human trafficking. They took this young captive girl, and this girl was put into service for Naaman's wife, so she probably lived in their household as she served them there. This young captive girl, even though she seems to play a small role in the story, plays a huge role in introducing Naaman to the hope of the God of Israel. Just think about how astounding that is, that a young girl ripped away from her family, from her culture, from her homeland, put into forced servitude in a foreign country, serving the mistress and her husband, who is the commander of the army that probably conquered and moved her. She is moved to empathy and kindness and suggesting that Naaman, who has this skin disease, who has leprosy that seems to be incurable, finds out through this little girl that there is a prophet in Israel that might be able to heal him, a prophet of the true and living God. And so when Naaman hears of this, he tells the king of Aram. The king of Aram writes a letter to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel, when he receives the letter, takes it as a provocation, as picking a fight. Because remember, the king of Aram just conquered the land of Israel and this king. And so now this king is telling him to heal the commander of the army that occupied and defeated them. Elisha, the prophet, who follows the great prophet Elijah, finds out about this, and he says, "Send him to me." Now, what's really kind of amazing about Naaman is that I think he begins to think that he could get healed if, through international diplomacy, this letter is written. So it's a totally transactional view of his healing that he wants. It's also a transactional view of what he wants, because the money that Naaman brings to him, which is not in our reading because they, for some reason, we had a skipping of verses here, but there were loads and loads of silver and gold that Naaman brought with him to pay the prophet, presumably, to heal him. He has horses and chariots, a whole army with him. And he goes to the front door of Elisha. Now imagine that. Imagine tanks and armored vehicles being parked in front of your front door. And what kind of a message that would be. I wonder if Elisha thought that maybe Naaman was saying, "Heal me or else." Well, I have all this gold and silver, and by the calculation that I have read, is to the tune of hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of gold and silver. And notice that Elisha does not answer the door. He doesn't even go to the front door to look and meet Naaman. But he sends a messenger, and the message, "Wash in the River Jordan 7 times. And Naaman, who has his own ego and his own pride, it's not what he wanted to hear. What he wanted was kind of the bells and whistles of his healing. He said, "I thought that he would come out, wave his hand over me, and heal the disease and make me whole." And so he turns away in a rage. Also, because he thinks the River Jordan is a scrawny little river, just a little creek compared to the rivers of Damascus. And if you know anything about the rivers of Damascus, they're deep and broad, much larger and plentiful than the waters of the Jordan. Then another voice from another little person, one of his servants, intervenes and says to Naaman, "Naaman, if the prophet asked you for a great thing for you to do, would you not do it?" Maybe the servant reminded him, "You had all these horses and chariots, all this gold and silver. If they asked you to pay a great price for your healing, wouldn't you have paid it? How much more than this little thing of washing yourself 7 times in the River Jordan?" And so he does it. I like what Martin Luther, the German reformer, says about baptism. He said, "How can water do such great things?" He says, "Not by water alone, but with the Word and the Spirit, God does great things." It becomes a holy baptism, which washes away our sins and adopts us as children of God. Just ordinary water, along with the promises of God. Almost exactly 5 years ago, we were in the middle of the height of the pandemic, and I know that St. Luke had a similar thing where we had to put everything online, made a live stream and make videos. I was making videos of entire services. I would record our choir and some people from the congregation singing the liturgy and the hymns. So I had some quality recordings that I made that they helped me make, and then some videos of the service. And so every week I would put together about an hour-long video of the service, and it was a lot of work. One of the biggest challenges that I had was putting quality video with quality audio on different devices. And so I would put the audio underneath in the computer, and it often wouldn't match. So just after about a minute, lips would be moving at a different rate than the audio that you heard. It looked like a foreign film. And so I had to break down the audio into little pieces and just piece it all together. It took me hours and hours and hours. And I just got exhausted. I thought, there's got to be a better way. And so I searched online, and I couldn't find any answers when I Googled it. I went to Apple, and I went to their public page to see if other people had the same problem and had a solution. Nothing. I called Apple, and I said, "What can you do to help me?" They didn't know what to do. And so finally, in desperation, late at night, I saw a video pop up in my search of a 12-year-old boy. And it said, "How to fix audio and video mismatch." It was a 1 minute long video. He said, "What you have to do is put the audio and the video so that they begin at the same time, and then you just hit Command R, and you take the audio and you just match it." You just match it. You stretch it longer or you shorten it, and it will make the video have the audio perfectly syncretized. It took 10 seconds. Sometimes we have to humble ourselves, don't we? And let our ego and our pride get out of the way to listen to these voices that God has provided for us of wisdom and of care that is around us, like the young captive girl who spoke words of hope and healing. And like the servant who probably Naaman thought was a nobody, he listened to him. And it was through that he found his healing. Just think about how simple those words are: wash and be clean. That's really what God does. He invites us into his work, where we are the recipients of his grace and mercy, if we have the wisdom to listen to the little bits of wisdom, even from those unlikely places around us where the Spirit speaks. Just as we, this morning, hear the Word of God, Just words? No. Because along with the Spirit of God, it is God's holy word that changes our hearts. Just as at the altar, where we'll have received little pieces of bread and little sips of wine and juice for the forgiveness of sins, receiving great things, the body and blood of Jesus, with the assurance of eternal life. In the name of Jesus, amen.